Will you pray with me? Lord, that may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now we get to where we are on our sermon series that we're starting this year off with, the sermon series of Fixer Upper, of how we look at being a new and better me in 2017, of how it is that we look at improving ourselves in this new year and see where a little bettering can happen. And we've been looking a little bit through the eyes of the HGTV show, Fixer Upper. And I love the transformations that happen on the show. I love seeing these run-down, rickety houses turn into these gorgeous houses that just about anybody would want to live in. But I think, moreover, I like watching those shows, that show, for the couple that's in that show, Chip and Joanna Gaines, this good Christian couple with four adorable children that just have way too much fun in what they're doing. And they are the team behind the transformation of these houses. Chip, the husband, he does the construction from the demolition to the rebuilding, and Joanna is the designer that looks at all of the colors and finishes and the sparkle, so to say, upon these projects. And they're a great working team in what they do. But then you watch the interviews and you kind of do the behind the scenes and you see of how they joke around with one another, how much they love one another, and just how much they complement one another. And you can see why they work so well together when you see this time that they have together. And so this morning, I want to look at that aspect of how they are this team that is transforming these houses, to look at what is our build team that we have in life. Who is it that we are working with to be able to be successful in this thing that we call our life? And so to be able to look at that, I went to this scripture that goes back in Exodus that's looking at when God has first told Moses that he needs to confront Pharaoh. Why does he need to confront Pharaoh? Because Pharaoh is holding the Israelites hostage in Egypt as slaves to build his pyramids and buildings. And it's pretty miserable conditions for the Israelites, and they are not intended to stay there long term. God says, this is your temporary punishment, but eventually I will bring you back out. And it's time for God to bring his people back out and take them back to the land that is their own, and he has chosen Moses to do that job. And so as the scripture opens up, God says, all right, Moses, I need you to stand up to Pharaoh. But what does Moses do? Moses looks at God and says, God, I can't. It's like the classic answer, right? God says, I need you. And the immediate is all of the reasons why I can't be the one to do the job for God. And what does Moses say? But Moses says, I can't because I have a stutter. Okay? How am I going to stand up to Pharaoh when I can't even get words clearly out of my mouth? And God says, well, I got a plan for that, right? Because God has a plan for everything. He says, you can't speak clearly, so I give you your brother Aaron. And God says, you will be like I am to you. You will be God, and Aaron will be your prophet. So I will tell you what needs to be said, and you will tell Aaron, and Aaron will clearly tell Pharaoh what the words of God are, and will instill fear eventually in him. You see, God's got a plan. Moses, I need you to be the one to hear my words and be the leader, but I give you Aaron to be your mouthpiece. So what happens? Moses and Aaron team up as God desires for them to do, and as God sent Aaron to be his voice, together they succeed. Together they bring the plagues. Together they bring the fear. And eventually what happens? But Pharaoh says, I can't take any more. Go get out of here and take your people with you. You see, how did that happen? Because God took the faith of Moses, the voice of Aaron, teamed them up, and they became unstoppable. So here we wonder, where is it in life that we have this teamwork? Because what happens, but God did not create us to be in solitude. We might think it, We might think, you know, I can do this on my own. God has created me to be strong. I can do this with my own hands and my own feet. I'm independent. I need to be able to show that I can do this, that I'm not weak and needing to rely on other people. But there's a great fault to this logic, if this is the logic we have. Because I think, who is the strongest, most capable human being that has ever walked this earth? And I have to think, Jesus Christ, my Savior, right? I mean, here is God incarnate in human form. That's got to be the strongest example of somebody who walked and lived on this earth. Well, did he live in solitude? Did he do it all on his own? Because you would think he could. He can do miracles. He can heal people. He can walk on water. He can do it. But what is one of the first things that Jesus does? He recruits a team to work with him. Not one person, not two people, but 12 strong, capable men become his team to be able to do the ministry that he needs to be able to do. And I hate to say, but if Jesus says, I need a team to be strong enough in this life, how can any of us say, I don't need anyone, I can do it on my own? So let's look at this need for relationships. Let's look at this team that we have. And the first thing is the realization that sometimes we need to be able to be obedient to the Holy Spirit to see where new opportunities for new relationships and friendships are. Every day, people are passing us by. Every day, people are surrounding us, whether it's out on the streets or in the store or at our jobs or at the gym or at school or wherever it may be. And there are those times when we get that nudge from the Holy Spirit. That's somebody that I should be saying hi to. That's somebody that I should greet and be nice to. That's somebody that on this Sunday morning, maybe I should be passing the peace of Christ to them and introducing myself. That Holy Spirit gives us those nudges. And if you're like me, I'm an introvert. If you didn't know this and you haven't heard this, don't let the preaching fool you. I'm an introvert. I'm one that I can do perfectly fine in my solitude or with my small group of friends, but those big groups I don't necessarily need because sometimes it makes me a little uncomfortable not being comfortable in my own socialization skills that I have. And so for me, I get those nudges from the Holy Spirit, and it's like, God, I'm too shy to say hi to that person. God, I'm too shy. Let me just worry about my groceries that are on this conveyor belt and not worry about the person in front of me. But God gives those nudges. God says, I need you to use that voice and speak up and be friendly, to be willing to put yourself out there, to open yourself up for the potential of adding a new person into your life. And our challenge is, how do we be obedient to those nudges and those callings? I look at some friends that I have in my life, and I know absolutely it was a nudging of the Holy Spirit, where God says, that's a place where you need to step out there and be brave and introduce yourself. And I'm so thankful I have, because of the blessing that I've had through the friendships that have come. And I wouldn't be the same without them, but if I would have just been too shy and said no thanks to the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't have them in my life and I wouldn't be who I am today. How is it that we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit? How is it that we willingly put ourselves out there to add additional support systems to our life? Because let me tell you, there's never a point where we can say, I have enough friends. I have enough people in my contacts list, in my phone. I have enough friends on Facebook. I have enough family. Because there's never enough, and there's never too many. So now what happens when we look at these relationships that we do have? The family we have, the friends that we have. Well, what we must realize with these existing relationships that we have to sustain and grow relationships, we must first make sacrifices And second, be willing to do whatever it takes. How do we make sacrifices and be willing to do whatever it takes? Because it's so easy to let friendships and relationships slip and dwindle. I know I'm absolutely a victim of this one. I've got this group of friends, and we've been friends since middle school. It's like the longest friends that I've had. And somehow it keeps coming up that when they're getting together, there's a reason I can't get there. Somehow every baby shower and wedding shower's on Sunday morning, and I get the invitation that says, I'm so sorry you can't make it, but wanted you to know we're having it. But it's so easy to say, I can't go because I've got commitments. I can't go. The kids have this. I can't be there. And all of a sudden I look and I think, oh my goodness, they live half an hour away, and it's been 2 years since I've seen them because something's come up at every occasion. And I see their friend, their kids quickly growing on pictures that I get and Christmas cards. I see things that are happening and I realize those friendships are slipping past me. And why is it? Because I'm not making the effort to be connecting with them. How is it that I make those sacrifices and do whatever it takes? On the plus side, it was about 10 years ago, I lost my grandmother. And when I lost my grandmother, it was really a wake-up call for me of realizing that I had not been making an effort to spend time with my grandmother and my grandfather. I saw them at family gatherings, but my life was so busy. I was in seminary, I was working, all these things were happening, and I wasn't taking time to go and see them. And I didn't think twice about it until my grandmother passed away, and I realized what I had missed. But then there I saw my grandfather, now all alone for the first time in 60 years of his life. And now all of a sudden I made the effort of realizing needing to pick up that phone and invite him to dinner, to invite him to spend time with me, to just sit down at his empty apartment with him and chat and watch a game. And I have to tell you, those moments that I got, that I spent the time driving to go see him, are some of the most precious moments that I have. I only got 3 months. He passed 3 months after my grandmother. But when he passed, I had no regrets about those 3 months because I had made the effort to be there with him and to make sure that that relationship was sustained. Now, how do I take that and apply it to the other relationships that I have to make sure that I am making the sacrifices and the efforts, to make sure that I'm the one who's picking up the phone and calling someone, to make sure that I'm the one that's giving the invitation to have dinner or a cup of coffee, to make sure that I'm the one that's willing to say, I'm sorry, so we can get past something and not miss time over something that could be resolved. How am I making that effort? How am I making sure the relationships that I have are as strong as possible? Why? Because the relationships that we have are the support system that's going to help us be successful. I think about when you go through safety training, if you're going to be doing any mission projects or outreach projects, and one of the first things they're going to teach you is about a ladder, okay? When they teach you how to use a ladder, they're going to teach you how to properly set up that ladder or lean up against what it's going to be. But the number one rule is that you have to have a ladder buddy. Why do you have to have a ladder buddy? Because that's the person who keeps 2 feet on the ground and 2 hands on the ladder that makes sure it stays steady, to make sure you don't fall, that watches out for anything that could endanger you while you are up on that ladder. And the key relationships that we have and the family that we have are like that ladder buddy. They are the people that are helping keep us secure and safe. They are the ones that are watching out for danger for us. They're the ones that are holding our hands through the tough time and praying for us. They're the ones that are giving us those phone calls to support us. They are the ones that are helping keep us accountable to the promises that we make and the commitments we make. They are the ones that are looking out for danger to warn us when things are coming. They are the ones that are steady with 2 feet on the ground for us. Those are the people we need in our life. It's said best in the book of Ecclesiastes when it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. God created us in community. God created Adam and said he shouldn't be alone. He needs a companion. And God created Eve. God puts people around us to support us, to help us, to keep us strong in this life. So our question this week is twofold. Number one, are we willing to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, to see where new opportunities for relationships are, to fold new people into this support system that we have, to be willing to risk what it takes to meet someone new? But then second, what are we willing to do this week to strengthen the relationships that we have, the friends, the family, the key people? What are we doing to strengthen those relationships? Because the stronger the relationships around us, the stronger we are. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks that you did not create us to be islands, that you did not create us to be alone in this world, trying to fight for ourselves and take care of ourselves, but that you gave us one another. You gave us this amazing church community that supports one another and prays for one another. That you give us a wider community where we see millions of people willing to march for women's rights, to stand together to be strong as one worldwide community. You provide us with family. You provide us with friends. You provide us with neighbors. You provide us with classmates. You provide us with one another so that we are able to handle all that this world throws at us. We pray that this week you help us to examine the key relationships that we have and help us through your Holy Spirit to see not only where we can strengthen those relationships to bring us even closer to one another, but also to see where the possibility of new relationships are, where we can make new friends, and where we can be the support for one another. For Lord, you are so good to us in how you care for us and how you are key in all of those relationships. And so we pray that you will help us on this day and all the days to come. For this we pray in your most holy name. Amen.